what it will be like, what it will be like to be there in the presence of God and to join with the angelic hosts in praising our God. And that's just a little taste, that song, and that experience that we have together. It's just a little taste of what that's going to be like. And I certainly look forward to that. And I'm glad that I was here this morning to sing that with you. As was mentioned, my daughter got married last night. My last daughter, I don't think I'm going to have any more. My last daughter got married last night, and it was a wonderful experience. And I just wanted to mention to the congregation here, we've been here quite a while, and our children grew up a lot of their years right here. And I want to tell you, I appreciate and I'm thankful to you for being a congregation in which my children can grow up and be taught and encouraged to have the example of fine Christian men and women. And you don't know how much that means to me to have this fellowship and to have my children be able to share it. And now they're off and they're doing what they do, but as Christians, I'm very thankful for that. This morning I invite you to open your Bibles or follow along up here. We're going to talk about this passage in Acts chapter 9, the first few verses of which God read to us this morning. The title of my sermon is An Interrupted Journey. An Interrupted Journey, because certainly what we read in the story is about Saul, who's on a journey, and it is fully his intention to do something on that journey, which he ends up not doing at all, because his journey was interrupted. There are three accounts of Saul's conversion in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. So I'm just going to look here at Acts 9. And I want you to think about what Saul went through as his journey was interrupted. And I want to try to apply some lessons from this account of Saul's interrupted journey. Start out with in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. It tells us what Saul's intentions were, his plans, what he had in mind on his journey to Damascus. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, it's talking about Christians, any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He thought that Jesus was a blasphemer. He thought that Jesus justly and rightly was executed on the cross. He thought that all of those who followed Jesus were also blasphemers, that they were also in disobedience to God. He thought that by persecuting them and doing everything he could to stop the spread of the church, to stop the spread of the message of Jesus Christ, that he was doing good. And the more he did it, and the better at it he was, the more good he was doing. That's what he thought. Now, ordinarily, when you're arresting people, and you're beating people, and you're throwing people in jail, and in some cases, executing people, you should think you're doing it for the right reason, shouldn't you? Because that's a horrible, terrible thing to do to human beings. And that's exactly what Saul was doing. He was doing the worst thing that you can do to people. And he thought he was doing the right thing. That's the journey that Saul was on. That's the path he was on. But he was wrong, of course. He was on the wrong path. Seems fairly obvious to us that all his plans, all the work that he was doing, all of the effort he was putting into it, every step along the way, he was absolutely doing the wrong thing. That was the reality. But he didn't think so. He didn't think he was doing the wrong thing. He thought he was okay. And that's a journey that a lot of people are on. It's a journey that some of us have been on. Maybe some of us are on. The wrong journey, the wrong path. It happens because of ignorance. It happens because of willfulness. It happens because of deceit. There's lots of reasons why a person could be on the wrong journey, doing the wrong thing, engaged in behavior that is just wrong. Some people know they're wrong and they don't care. But most people, they think they're okay. They think, oh, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. These are my choices. This is my life. This is the thing that I need to do to get what I think I need to get done. And most people just, they approve of the choices they make. And naturally so. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you approve of the choices that you make? They're your choices. Surely you had a reason for making them. And yet, so many people, the path that they're on is wrong. It's not a good path. It doesn't lead to a good place. That was true for Saul. And you have to ask yourself the question, if Saul had stayed on that journey, if he had continued to live the life that he was living and not changed, not been diverted, not had his journey interrupted, where do you think Saul would be today? Can you imagine? But I've got to tell you something. This story, and I'm going to make this point two or three times in the course of my lesson, this story is not written for Saul's benefit. It happened to him. It's about him, but it's not for him. These verses that we're reading here, they're not for Saul. Saul lived the story. He knew what the story was. In chapters 22 and 26 of Acts, he's the one telling the story. He doesn't need to be told this story. But we do. So when I ask you the question, what if Saul had continued on the journey that he was on and had not been interrupted, where do you think he would be? I guess I ask that question to you and to me. Am I on the right path? And what's going to happen to me if I stay on this path? That's what this story is about. What path are you on? That's the question. Now, Saul thought he was on the right path, but he was on the wrong path. Saul thought he was okay. In fact, he thought he was more than okay. He thought he was great. He thought he was doing exactly what he needed to be doing. He was doing it with passion. He was doing it with zeal and vigor. And he was absolutely wrong. Absolutely. One of the things that the scriptures teach us over and over again is examination, self-examination. Look at yourself. Look at your life. Look at the path you're on. And where is it going? That's certainly part of what this story is about. Now, as he went on his way, Acts 9 and verse 3, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And you can, in your own mind's eye, you can depict that any way that you want to. It doesn't matter. It must have been dramatic. It must have been amazing. It must have been a brilliant light. It appears to have knocked Saul down. The old story is he got knocked off his horse. There's no horse in the story. I don't know where the horse came from. But Saul is hit with this light. And that light and the subsequent exchange interrupts his journey. I mean, here's a guy. He's about to get there. You know how you are when you're about to get into, after you make this long journey, you're about to get into town, and you just want to get there and get on with it. And he was, you know, his mind was focused. He's, I'm going to get these people. And all of a sudden, this light hits him. You know, most people don't want their journeys interrupted. Most people, they are on the path that they have decided on. They're not interested. They don't want to hear any kind of advice about correcting their course. They're not open to suggestions. They're on their journey. They do not want to be interrupted. And I understand that. I mean, you made up your mind. You're comfortable with the decisions you've made. You think you're doing okay. And why would you listen to me or anybody else? So maybe it takes a little bit of an attention getter. I don't know. Lord has a way of waking people up sometimes. I can't put my thumb on it, you know, and say that definitely something the Lord did to get your attention. I can't say that. I don't know. This obviously was something that was pretty obviously from the Lord. But maybe it's something else for you. I don't know. But if you're on the wrong path and you think you're on the right path, what would the Lord do to get your attention? I don't know. Hopefully something. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Boy, those are some scary words, aren't they? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He doesn't know who this is. Doesn't know who's speaking to him. But he knows that it's from heaven. He knows that it's divine. He knows that it is from God. He knows that. I mean, how could he not know that? But he doesn't know who exactly. "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Wow. Talk about having your journey interrupted. He's on this road to go to Damascus to arrest people who followed this man. The people who followed Jesus. He's going to go arrest them. He's going to take them back to Jerusalem. He's going to throw them in prison. Some of them will be beaten. Some of them may be killed. And that's the journey that Saul is on. And Jesus is saying, "You're persecuting me." And he's divine light from heaven. "You're persecuting me." Wow. Talk about... You ever thought about what it would be like if you were driving down the road at 60 miles an hour and you threw it in reverse? You ever thought about what that would... I don't want to find out, but I know this. Something would happen. My journey would be interrupted. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." You know, it first of all, on one level, it's pretty amazing that Jesus cared about Saul. You think of all the people, in the world that Jesus would say, "I don't care for this. I don't care for this guy." The number one chief operative in persecuting Christians. But Jesus talks to that guy. Of all of the people, that's the one that Jesus says, "I want to talk to you." Jesus cared for Saul. It's one of the most remarkable stories in the Bible, really. And we know about Saul's later statements. You know, I was the chiefest of sinners, the least deserving. And yet, by the grace of God, if Jesus cares for Saul, how do you think he feels about you? He cared enough to interrupt him. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. Let's just, person's bent on going to hell, let him go to hell. Right? That's not how Jesus looks at it. And so, as unwelcome or not, as the case may be, Jesus interrupts. That's what he does. He says, look, I care about you. You're on the wrong path. You are not living your life right. Now, you might say, well, Jesus cared about Saul and Jesus interrupted Saul, but he's never spoken to me. He's never shone from some bright light from heaven and spoken to me. I would suggest to you, my friend, that you are looking at this wrong. And I'll say it again. This story is not written for Saul. It's written for you. What do you think is happening right now, today, in this room, in your life? I would suggest to you that if you're on the wrong path, and you kind of know you are, that Jesus is interrupting your journey. That's what he's doing. That's what this story is here for. I don't know why you came here today. I hope that you came here to try to get closer to God. But whether you did or you didn't, you're here and you're reading these words. And I'm telling that Jesus cares about you and he's interrupting your journey. That's what's happening here today. He cares about you too. He absolutely does. He cares enough to interrupt your journey too. Something else we read here is that Jesus took Saul's behavior personally. Now, that's fairly obvious. If a person is persecuting your followers, it's difficult not to take that personally. But that's exactly how Jesus put it. He didn't say, you're persecuting my followers. He says, you're persecuting me. You're persecuting me. He takes your persecution seriously too. He said, oh, no, wait a second. No, wait a second, preacher. I'm up to you up to this point, but I'm not a persecutor of the church. I haven't thrown anybody in prison. I'm not on some journey to try to get people in trouble. I'm just living my life and I'm doing what I think I need to do and I'm happy with the choices I'm making. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do. Well, as kindly as I can, let me suggest to you that God took on human form, became a human being, came down to this world, and he lived a difficult and challenging life trying to reach out to you to save your soul because you're on the wrong path, and he died for your sins, a cruel and terrible death, and he was raised to glory, and he sits at the right hand of God, and through this story, he is saying to you, you are not respecting me. And the way that you're living your life, if it's not as a Christian, if you're not serving Jesus Christ, the way that you're living your life is against Christ. I know you don't see it that way. You don't think that Jesus has ever appeared to you or hasn't reached out to you, and you may feel that way even after the point that I made, but there is a day when you will stand before the Lord and He will speak to you, and He is going to ask you, why'd you live your life the way you did? I took that personally. And now you're not going to get to be with me because it's personal. It's personal with Jesus. You want to be with Jesus when this life is over with? And let me tell you something. You're going to want to be with Jesus when this life is over with. And that's personal. And the choices that you're making in your life is personal to Jesus. So Jesus is going to say, why'd you do this to me? Why did you deny me? Why? But arise, Jesus says to Saul. He says, arise, just get up, go into town, and it'll be told you what you have to do. Jesus is telling him, you go into town, await further instructions. And, he does the same thing for us too. Jesus has a way of letting us know what He wants us to do. He doesn't leave us without instructions or directions He tells us there's a way that you can know what you need to do. I didn't leave you just blow your mind away and just leave you laying there on the ground without any direction. There's some directions, and it's up to us whether we listen or not. Saul could have just gone back to Jerusalem. Saul could have gone someplace else. Saul could have said, I don't want to go into Damascus. I don't want to find out what I have to do. And you can do the same thing. You can say, thanks for the interruption. Thanks for the heads up. Not interested. You can do that. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So they didn't see the same thing that Saul saw. They didn't hear the same thing that Saul heard. And that's that happens. Having our journey interrupted is a very individual thing. I mean, there's people here listening this morning, and some of them not listening too well, and some of them listening very well. Some of them may be moved a little bit by the story that we're looking at here. Maybe some not. I mean, it's an individual thing. It really is. And in your life, if Jesus comes into your life and begins to have an effect on you, there's going to be people around you that are not going to have that same experience. And you need to know that. That when Jesus interrupts your life, He doesn't necessarily interrupt the life of everybody around you, and that's just the way it's going to be. You have to decide what you're going to do on your own. Everybody does. I grew up in a congregation. I was talking about that with our kids. I grew up in a congregation, a very nice group of people, very dedicated to God. Great preachers through the years, great elders, great leadership, great Bible class teachers. Taught the truth, taught it well. I grew up with a bunch of kids, and some of them remain faithful to this day. Some of them not. A lot of them not. Jesus, he comes to us in the gospel, and He says, here I am. And some turn from Him, and some take up the banner of Jesus Christ. That's the way it's going to be. What about you? It's what you need to decide. That's what we're talking about this morning. Saul arose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing, so he was blind. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now, let me tell you something. Saul's in a bad way, and finding out you're on the wrong journey, it can be unnerving and disorienting. It can be. It is, obviously. You think you know what your life is about. You think you know what you want to do, and all of a sudden, you hear a message from the Lord in His gospel, and you begin to doubt and question and think, well, am I making the right choices in my life? And it is unnerving. It is disorienting. When I was a young man, I had a paper route. I probably told this story before. It's okay. You may not have been listening at the time. I had a paper route, and I would deliver papers early in the morning. It was still dark, and I would ride my bike. And I would ride my bike through their yards. Thinking back on it, maybe that wasn't welcome. I don't know. But I would. That's the way I did. I rode the bike through the yards, and I'd throw the papers because I had a large route and I had to get it done. And ride the bike, deliver the papers. Ride the bike, deliver papers. And I took a little path I ordinarily didn't take. And you know how telephone poles have these guide wires that come down? I caught one right here. I mean, I caught a wire right there. It interrupted my journey. I was disoriented by that interruption. I lay there on the ground thinking, what in the world happened to me? It can be that way. But that's a good thing, right? If you're on the wrong path. Shouldn't you have God shake up your world? Shouldn't you be a little disoriented if you've been poorly oriented before? Yeah. It may take a while to absorb. Here's Paul, and he's in a bad way. Some people suggest that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus. He's the most miserable saved person I've ever heard of. He's not saved. He knows he's wrong. He knows he's been wrong. He doesn't know how it's going to be rectified. He is fasting, he is praying, and he is hurting. He is hurting. And you need to hurt a little bit if you're on the wrong path. You need to feel some guilt and some remorse. You need to. It may take a while to figure things out, but thankfully the Lord's patient. That's the great thing about the Lord. The Lord is patient with us. He gives us time, not forever. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And that's what Saul's doing. He is praying and he is fasting and he is hurting. He is one confused individual. And Jesus said, you go into town and it'll be told you what you must do. And that hadn't happened yet. And so the Lord says to Ananias, I want you to go. He says in verse 12, he has seen a vision. A man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. And I said, Lord, I know about this guy. I've heard about this fella from many, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. I can just see Ananias. Ananias, he's praying. Oh, Lord, this terrible guy, Saul, is on his way here. He's going to persecute us. Saul, it's terrible what's about to happen. Please deliver us. Please help us. The Lord appears to Ananias and says, Ananias, Saul's here. I want you to go talk to him. I want you to go see this guy. Funny that you should mention that. I had just been talking to you about that, Lord. This guy's no good. This guy's bad news. I'm not sure this is the guy that I need to go talk to. It's funny how that works. We just assume we know better than the Lord, don't we? That's a pretty bad assumption. Anyway, you're never going to inform the Lord of anything. You understand? But Ananias informed the Lord. He said, he's bad news. Changing your path not always understood or welcomed by people. And if you think that's the way it works, well, I'm sorry. You do the best you can. And don't you worry about what other people think you are or were or what you could be or what you can't be. You just do what you can do. Serve the Lord. But Ananias had his doubts about Saul and his worthiness, and the Lord put him right. He said, "No, you're gonna go talk to him." The Lord said to him, "Go." And that's the thing he says to all of us. Say, but Lord, this go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. You see how that name, my name, that's interesting, isn't it? Because that's the name. That's the name that Saul had hated. That's the name that Saul had persecuted. That's the name he didn't want to hear coming out of people's lips. And that is the name that Saul is going to bear witness to. It's a remarkable story. The greatest persecutor becomes the greatest advocate. Fantastic story. My name. He will bear my name. And I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my sake. You know, the Lord has a path for each one of us. In many ways, it's the same path. Faithfulness to the gospel. But in terms of the service that we performed, we have different opportunities and different talents, and we have different paths in that regard. He's got a path for each one of us. Jesus had a path for Saul. It's not necessarily the most pleasant or easy path. It certainly wasn't going to be for Saul. Saul was going to suffer. He did suffer. He suffered greatly. But that was the path that the Lord had set for Saul. And its ending is much better than any that we choose for ourselves. And that's the point, you know. The Lord has a path for you. You need to follow it. And even if it's difficult and challenging, understand that it's a much better path than the one you were on before. So Ananias departed and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. You know why he... You know, it's so interesting. He arose and he was baptized. And I've never heard anybody question what that baptism was, because it seems so obvious. He'd already, you know, Ananias had already laid his hands on him. He'd already, his sight had been regained. But he got up. That's what it says, right? He rose, he got up, and he was baptized. Because that's what the message of Christianity was, you know, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so that's what he did. And we know that he did that because that's what he was told what to do. Acts 22:16. In Paul telling his story, again, Paul says, "Ananias said to me, 'Saul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins.'" Calling on the name of the Lord. That's the name. That's the business end of the whole process. You be baptized in the name of the Lord, and your sins will be washed away. And that's exactly what he did. He rose and he was baptized because it's the name of Jesus. And when you're baptized in Jesus' name, when you're baptized because of Jesus, to honor Jesus, to say you believe in Jesus, when you do that, that's the moment. That's it. "Go into town, it'll be told you what you must do." He went into town. He waited there 3 days. He was in a bad way. Ananias came. He says, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized in the name of Jesus." Jesus said, "I'm going to show him. He's going to bear witness in my name. He is going to suffer for my name. Get up and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, to wash your sins away." He's fasting, he's praying, because he's got this load of guilt on him. He has done terrible things. He doesn't know what he's going to do. Wash your sins away. That's what you need to do. Wash them away. Wash him away. Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name. And that's what he did. He rose. He was baptized. And then he's in a good spot then, taking food, he was strengthened. Things were so much better at that point. That's where he needed to be. You know, the Lord has interrupted your journey today. I'm concluding here. I lost my watch. I can't really see that clock. But this is the end of the lesson. You know, the Lord has interrupted your journey. I don't know what journey you've been on. I'm not trying to judge you or. But if you've got an idea that you've been on the wrong journey and been making the wrong choices in your life, the point of the story is the Lord has interrupted you. The Lord is saying something to you. He wants you to know that your choices matter to Him. That your life matters to Him. It matters to Him. And He has a better path for you. He has one that He wants you to be on, a much better one. Will you let Him change your path today? Will you do that? Do what Saul did. Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on His name. If you want to do that this morning, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing. Built by the Lord.